First, the Oneida Nation is testing out whether hemp production can boost the tribal economy. Their budgets rely heavily on casinos for revenue. Casinos have taken a hit, like many other businesses, as the coronavirus pandemic continues to slow things down. Like many farmers experimenting with hemp in Wisconsin, last year's harvest didn't go quite according to plan, but the tribe says it's learned valuable lessons to make this year more successful. Ernie Stevens III is a tribal councilman with the Oneida Nation. He coordinated the tribe's venture into hemp production. Ernie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, can you talk about what led the tribe into pursuing hemp production now that it's more legal than it used to be?
Well, we've always thought of it as an important commodity, as a natural resource. You know, it was very, very prominent in the state of Wisconsin for many years before the paper industry really took over. So a lot of communities, tribes, entities utilized it, and so a part of it was just logic. You know, it's a better product. It could be utilized for forestry. You know, it has the same decarbonization as trees, but in a much more expedited fashion. So there's a number of natural resource usages for hemp. So as tribal communities, we always look for ways to work with the environment and to improve the environment. So it was always based on that. But then, you know, we always looked at the economic opportunity as well to utilize it to, you know, replace plastics, to replace other forms that are just better on the environment and also more efficient and ultimately could be an economic opportunity and venture in a long-term basis. So a number of those reasons and more that we've always for some time seen hemp as a viable opportunity to improve our community.
As you mentioned, there's a lot of different kinds of products that involve hemp, and as I understand it, kind of different ways of growing them and harvesting them. What kind of products, what kind of markets have you been focusing on so far?
Well, a big one is the utilization of car parts, like filters and things like that. I mean, there's a mass manufacturer opportunity if we can provide the hemp to replace different forms of again, paper is another big one. So anything involving paper and plastic to provide a more biodegradable option that also is more economically feasible in the onset of purchasing and acquisition and all those things. I mean, anything involving replacing those pieces of the supply chains is a good thing. But of course, you know, the big one right now too is hempcrete, to find more efficient ways to build buildings, supply buildings with different components, filtering and just different aspects of building, whether it's residential or commercial buildings. There's a lot of opportunity for hemp to replace, and again, it's always about efficiency. It's always about environmental impact. And hemp provides that opportunity, both an environmental fashion as well as an economic fashion. So those are a few things that we've looked at when it comes to hemp, and it's specific to hemp fiber. So it's there's a number of different varieties of forms of hemp, but we're focused specifically on the fiber version of hemp.
And I know there's interest in all those CBD products out there on the market. Is that something you've been experimenting with too, growing hemp? And I understand that is a very different type of farming than growing hemp for fiber.
Yeah, last year the CBD was we had a significant portion of our grow was involved in CBD. We purchased seeds that were cultivated in a whole different climate, so I think that resulted in a really expedited development for the product, you know, so it ended up going hot, as they say. In other words, you know, the 0.3 THC count is a legal limit. So if it gets 0.3 or above, it's considered controlled substance. And again, a lot of people who understand these aspects, they don't agree with that. I mean, the number should be a lot higher. I certainly am one that feels, it's 0.3% is not a threshold of controlled substance, but it's federal law. But that's the big difference. With our fiber product last year, we just weren't able to harvest it. You know, our particular location was really wet. We couldn't get the equipment in to harvest it. So it's really a totally different situation when it comes to how you manage the product. You know, and CBD is a totally different thing. It's it's very similar to what you would see in a marijuana operation. It smells just like it. You know, I mean, when you sell it, you know, in the shops, a lot of it is oils and the tinctures, but sometimes they do sell the smokable product that looks just like marijuana, but again, it just doesn't have the THC count. It's a legality piece of it, so people, when they sell it, it smells just the same, but again, it's a highly medicinal usage. So we were interested in that. We just didn't, we didn't have much success with it. And it's a very saturated market right now, but we're still very interested, but we're not utilizing it at this point.
We're talking to Ernie Stevens, the third tribal councilman of the Oneida Nation, talking about the tribe's ventures into hemp production here in Wisconsin. Ernie, I know a lot of farmers who tried hemp last year in Wisconsin ran into some similar problems. Are there lessons learned? Are there reasons to think that this year things are going to come out better than they did last year?
Well, I think the biggest lesson learned is just being able to, I mean, it's all about resiliency, you know, being able to adapt to your climate, you know, and our climate is changing. No matter what people think about it, the climate is changing, specific to the Midwest. It's going to be a lot wetter. It's adjusting. So it's adjusting to the climate changes that we're dealing with. And so that's a very important piece. Anybody who understands agronomy monitoring agricultural products, like specific to, you know, hemp itself, as well as any, other byproducts like cover crops that you use to rebuild the soil. Climate is so important about that. So I think that's one of the most important learning curves that people have to go through, is understanding how these crops do in this particular climate. And I think fiber, in comparison to, CBD. CBD is an indoor product. I think we'll have to be honest about that. Similar to marijuana, it has to be grown indoor, has to be monitored on a daily basis. So it's a totally different situation. Fiber is more resilient on its own as an individual crop that can adjust and be managed alongside other weeds and other crops that might grow around it. So it's more natural. A form of hemp, and I think so. That's probably the most important learning curve, is just understanding the differences and management of the crop, and letting it grow, you know, letting it be natural, not having to over monitor, over manage it, letting it, you know, grow naturally, but also just understanding that it grows fast and develops fast, and just being able to just really monitor it. I think that's the most important learning curve.
And Ernie, I understand this is part of an effort to kind of diversify the tribal economy. You've taken a hit, as I mentioned up front, casinos like restaurants and a lot of other venues hit hard by COVID-19. Can you talk about the importance of diversifying?
Yeah, I mean, tribal community specifically, you know, we always have a goal of providing programs and services to our communities, you know, our tribal membership. And so gaming's been able to really provide a lot of that, you know, and by funding different programs and services, healthcare, education, all these things that are really amazing and wonderful opportunities for tribal members. But like, as the pandemic has shown us, you know, you shut down a casino, you're facing some significant, you know, income loss on a daily basis, and those are incomes that go directly towards those programs, again, daily, weekly, monthly. And so it's a really major issue when your operations aren't operating, you're not bringing in revenue. And so economic diversification's always been a concern and issue for at least Oneida and of course several other tribes. It's a goal. It's something that we want to be able to create a revenue stream. Again, it's very difficult to have a revenue stream similar to gaming, but to be able to do that in a similar fashion, to be able to do, you know, provide some kind of diversified income. I mean, we want multiple forms of income. So to be able to do that, that's a goal for several tribes. And of course, Oneida, and we saw hemp as a viable opportunity to do that.
Ernie, sorry about that. Thanks a lot for joining us today. We'll leave it there.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for the time.
That's Ernie Stevens III, tribal councilman with the Oneida Nation. He coordinated the tribe's experiments with hemp and brought us up to date on how they're doing with that this season.